Okay, we're going to start out with Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I just went to my sweet sister who was 103 years old. She passed away. She went to the church in Burlingame, and I've never seen that many people in that church before. It was totally packed. And that woman had the sweetest testimony of Jesus. I don't care what she did, where she went, what gift she had been given. It did not matter. You only saw Christ in her. And she was the most humble-spirited woman I think I've ever met. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And I looked at that and I thought, what? The day of death than the day of one's birth. It's more precious. It's like the day of death and the day of one's birth. It's going to get better. The end is better than the beginning thereof. You think of when a child is born to reveal something to you. He's unveiling it. He's rolling back the curtain so you can get a clear view, a clear vision of the grace and the teaching of God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence is to be filled and to speak with tongues. Most people stop right there. They don't go on. There's so much more in being filled. Being filled, first thing that comes out is praise out of your mouth and worship and singing and praising and submission, preaching boldly, submission in the home. There's so many things. Praying for the body, being ready, putting on the whole armor of God. How would you know? The Holy Spirit's sword is the word of God. Jesus had to use that when he was in the wilderness. He knew. He wasn't in some place that he didn't belong. He was driven. He was led of the Spirit. In Mark, he was driven. And I believe it's in Luke. I'm not for sure. Matthew. He was led of the Spirit. We're filled. We're giving God total control. And I shared this with Isaac because he had shared in class. What's the one member, that little tongue? If we give him control of that tongue, you will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. If he has control of your tongue, he'll have control of the whole body. Control. He takes a member of that body that no man can tame it. And he gets it to do a heavenly words coming out of his mouth. Heavenly praise. Then you're filled. Don't stop there. A continual filling is Ephesians 5:18. You were filled with the Holy Ghost. But when you get over there, it says, be not drunk with wine in an excess. Be you filled with the Holy Ghost. That means full of it, completely, whole, perfect. He wants you to have all of that. So now we're going to go over to John 16. I looked at over in 15 because he said, these things have I spoken unto you in verse 1, that you should not be offended. Don't be offended. There's some things going to come to pass, he's telling them. Why did he tell them that? These things have I spoken to you. What things? He had just said, if the world hates you, they hated me before they hated you. I thought you wanted to come in and learn of me and take your place in me. Speak truth. Everyone won't love you. Walk in the whole and the fullness of the gospel. They won't want to be around you. I'm telling you, some people it will draw. Some people it pushes them away. It's called rejection of his word. Rejection of the light. When you reject the light, you enter into darkness deeper and deeper and deeper. If you were of the world, they're going to love you. The world loves his own. And I believe the world has come even in the churches. I do. Well, if you agree and you compromise and you do all this stuff in the churches, you see, they're going to like you a lot. But if you take a stand because God shows you something totally different, and I'm not talking about everybody, I'm talking about I am walking with God. He is talking to our heart, each individual. You are responsible for the light that you have been given. That's how he brings more light. He'll bring more light. I've rejected a lot of truth. I wouldn't clap my hands in a church if you paid me probably $10,000. I was that rebellious. And I certainly wouldn't have gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. But because you are not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. See, I brought you out of. I brought you into a better thing. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. So you got to get yourself out of there. Otherwise, you'll go, woe is me, and why are they treating me like that? And why did they say that to me? No, it's for his name's sake. We have to enter into that suffering. This is the cup we must drink. We must drink of a cup. They will do unto you for my name's sake because they know not him that sent me. They don't know God. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they don't have a cloak. You speak the word of God, it opens it up. You see, it takes away their fig leaves. It takes away all their works, everything. It shows it up. He that hateth me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. You see, they came to a place of accepting the truth or taking the lie, a lesser place. When the Comforter is come, and I love this, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, called alongside to help. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of who? Himself? Everything he does? To be noticed and seen of man? No. He's going to tell them all about him, what he's doing in her life, what is going on. It's so different that man cannot understand it. You shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. But remember, the end of the thing is going to be better than the beginning. You think of the travail. There was a beginning of child. There was a beginning. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. Now there's a baby in the mother's womb. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. The baby's born. She had to go through suffering, not just to give birth. Carrying that child is a lot of work. Trust me, he was 11 pounds. That was a lot of work. Carrying that within my womb, letting it kick you and keep, there's many things, get the hiccups, whatever. But it started in the womb. Now the baby's born. Oh, he's so cute. He's beautiful. Think of baby Jesus. But Mary was told from the very beginning, all this is because of the power of God, because of the Holy Spirit's power. The beginning to the end of the thing. These things I've spoken to you that you won't be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you, you think that he doeth God's service. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Because he's not like that. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to speak truth. These things have I told you that when the time shall come, it's going to happen. You can remember that I told you of them. He told them about his resurrection too. Did it come to pass? Yes. Did all believe? No. Some wanted to see a sign. But now I go away to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. It is expedient, it's necessary for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him to you. I am not going to leave you in this world comfortless. And we know that because you can go through some of the hardest trials and then he'll speak to you. And he quiets your whole soul and spirit. Spirit, soul, and then your body. If I depart, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he's going to reprove. He does the reproving through the world of sin and righteousness and of the judgment. He's going to show them what's right. Who hath believed our report? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. You see, they're going to say, I'm so mad at you because you said that. You said that to me. You only did that because of me. You better know in your heart that you did not. You did it because you were led by who? Be filled with the Spirit. Then you're led of the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit. You talk in the Spirit. Everything you do is of the Spirit. And that's what glorifies Jesus. Of sin because you believe on, of sin because they believe not on me. And of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I never really saw this again where it was connected, even 1 Corinthians 3. I have yet many things to say unto you. You can't bear them now. Howbeit when he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he is going to guide you into all the truth. Look, 66 books. I don't think you got to buy any more. 66, the wholeness and completeness, all this word of God inspired, God breathed. When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of himself. I'm going to tell you, that has got me, I don't know how many times, because sometimes I talk about myself. The Lord said, he does not speak about himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that's what he's going to speak. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. They shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. See, you're going to be glorifying him, being filled with the Spirit. For he shall receive of mine, and he's going to show it unto you. The same thing Paul did. You're a partaker of my grace. It's not because I'm above you all. It's because God gave me the grace. I had to show you that you're going to pray for things. Get rid of it. Make it go away, Lord. I had to show you that God's ways aren't ours. And he said, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. I can leave it right there. Think of all the things that people are trying to overcome today. God would have to go out here and wipe this earth away. We're to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. I'm not trying to bring Christ in my life. It won't work. We are a fallen man. Now we're a new man. It's through Christ and Christ alone. Why would we want to rob him of his glory? I couldn't even get up to go to work if he didn't give me the strength. I wouldn't have the words to speak to anybody when they needed it had he not given it. So why is it all coming back to what I did? It's what he did by submission to the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the word of God being on exhibit in our life. It's being magnified. It's showing Christ in you. The hope of glory. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty, but it's through God. Through God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, pulling down those thoughts and all those imaginations. The things that do what? It comes against the knowledge of God. We have, otherwise people are going to, you've got to have an open mind, but it's really, I believe, an open heart. Because Gene always told me, if you're open-minded, they can put anything in your head. They can put anything, any thought they want, and you'll be right in the path with them. We need to be very careful what we're hearing. Listening to the Holy Spirit is what we need to be doing. And that's not always easy. I know when Ray was talking in class, I was going, woo, there's some cutting going on. But it wasn't him. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through him truth to separate you in your rank, get you in the place that God would have you to be. Not getting tripped up by the trickery and the wiles of the devil. And that's who's doing it. It's not a person. But we are supposed to know truth. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you. Sometimes we walk out in our flesh, but God's grace, it doesn't change. But I tell you what, when he gives me that grace, then more of his grace to others show. That's when you guys get to be a partaker in it. You should be excited when somebody gets more of his grace. You're part of it. You get to enjoy that. I'm enjoying what Paul gave to us by God's grace. I'm sorry that he had to go through everything he went through. But his grace was sufficient. He had already told Paul that. I am going to deliver the godly out of everything, every temptation, every sin that does so easily beset you from running this race. I think the hardest thing for me, I'll just put me there, is I got to sit down. Just be quiet. Let me fight for you. Have you ever had God fight for you? And somebody gets up and reads the word of God, and you can hear it as plain as day. Let her alone. Let her alone. God wants to do that in our life. That's where we enter in, we're studying. And I love what I talked to Pastor Beck, and I'll end this with this. I can't remember exactly where it is, but Martha, when Jesus was coming to dinner, you remember in the scripture, it says Martha was cumbered about with so much serving. She was just, oh, got to do this, I got to do that. You're going to live that. You're going to have to go through that to get to the right attitude. But then you're going to find out when you go to a different gospel, Martha doesn't say she's cumbered about with much serving. Oh, no. No, Martha served. They all made a dinner. Lazarus sat at the table. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. But let me tell you, the attitude of all is to be one thing, love. Mary didn't want to cumbered up, and Martha didn't get all cumbered up in that gospel. She gave what she had, and she listened. Now he's changed her attitude. That's how I see it. We can have a Martha attitude, but then he changes it to that right spirit. The same spirit Mary had. What about Lazarus? He's sitting at the table. I want to know truth. But it's all edifying. Who's doing the changing here anyway? God is. God is changing hearts. And I believe he is today, purifying the hearts for the soon coming of the Lord. Let's all stand.